have them get immersed, and then you'll just hear from the person that does the baptism. Yeah. This is a press box for our school program. I hope you come out to the school program the kids are doing for school.
If you could please open your Bibles, please, to James chapter 1 and verse 5. He doesn't like it when I do this, but I want to again thank Brother Dan for all of his work on the buses this past week. He's put brakes on them, put exhaust on them, welded on them, scraped rust on them, painted on them, and that bus ministry I don't think would be the same what it is without Brother Dan, so thank you very much, Brother Dan. Continue to pray for the inspections, though. May they go off without a hitch. It would be a miracle, but God can do it. And James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just be with this Sunday school lesson. Lord, I know Pastor Myers just prayed, but Lord, just be with this lesson. And Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, be with me as I teach what you've given to me, Lord, and Lord, just be with them as they listen. In my heavenly name we pray, amen. I want to teach this morning for a little bit here on making good decisions. Making good decisions. Again, the verse says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, I always, any time that I ever talk about anything like this, I always use an illustration of a little kid. You know, if you don't know how to do something as a little kid or your kids, they don't know how to do something quite right, they come and ask, you know, of somebody a little bit older, somebody that might understand. I had somebody ask me a question this past week. I didn't know the answer, so I called my father to ask his advice and his wisdom on it to see what he thought about it. But you know, it's always funny, and I've said this a lot, but it's always funny when a big decision needs to be made, you know, we try to hastily make it just like that without going to God, the one that knows everything, yet we still try to do it ourselves. And the point number one that I have is don't make a hasty decision. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. To begin in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but with everything by prayer and supplications. Saying, don't get overexcited, don't get anxious, and make a bad decision. What I'm trying to say is too many times we let our own emotions get involved with a decision that has to be made. And consequently, we make a decision because we're excited about something, we're nervous about something, and instead of going before God, and instead of getting alone with God and asking what He thinks of it, on our own emotions, on what we want, we go ahead and make that decision. And we make a decision like that, and all it does is lead us down a path that's incorrect, and it leads to heartaches and trouble. Case in point, people will go into a house, and they're wanting to buy a house, and they walk into this house that's 5 billion square feet, and it's $3 trillion to buy it, and they make $40,000 a year, and they get all excited, and they want to buy it, and some idiotic banker actually goes ahead and gives them the loan for it. I'm exaggerating. Incredibly, I know, but the illustration's there, and they get themselves in a financial difficulty, and they thought, oh, because it had as many bathrooms as they wanted, and it had as many rooms as they wanted, and everything, it must be of God, because it has everything that I want in it, but God wasn't in it at all, because we made a hasty decision on what we wasn't careful to go before God, we wasn't careful to see what God thought about that decision. And we went ahead and we made a decision, and it wasn't what God wanted. Let's turn to 1 Peter 3:17. First Peter 3:17, it says, for it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And that's a hard one for us all to swallow, saying if it's better that you suffer in God's will than you suffer when it wasn't God's will. Because if you're suffering while you're in God's will, God's still with you, and he's right there beside you because that was his perfect will. But if we go ahead and make a decision that wasn't God's will, God will still be with you, but it seems like in a situation like that, God says, okay, you wanted to make a decision on your own. It's time that you rough it out for a little bit. But if God puts you, just like Paul, he did on the Isle of Patmos when he was there, God was with him through all the troubles and tribulations through there. God was with him through all that. But too many times we want to make our own decision and we get ourselves in, and the road's rocky for a little while and the valley's rough. And it's only then when we finally figure out that we made a decision that was bad, that we finally figured out that we made a decision and we didn't ask God, that's when we want to ask for God. That's when we want to ask his help. That's when we get upset and wonder why God's not here. But it was our own fault because we didn't obey what God wanted. We didn't try to seek God for his own will. Let's turn to 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And I'm going to skip ahead here for a minute. James 4:8, we know what that says. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Let's read this verse again here. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You know, I agree with Pastor Dave when he says anybody that says if they're close to God that they're probably not too close, because if they think that highly of themselves, then God doesn't like an arrogant type of a spirit. But I'm not close to God at all. But I've got the privilege of actually got to be around some people that walked with God, and you know it says he heareth us if it's his will, and we know that God hears us all the time. But the verse is trying to prove a point there. You know, sometimes, you know, a little kid that's going to do something wrong, before they do it, you know, they know that it's wrong. And I hope they don't get offended at this. But little Wade, I love that kid. He's the best. He cracks me up. But every time we're over there, he always wants me to put a train together. And I feel bad for the little dude because, you know, when I was a kid, I still have all my trains, but I don't play with them anymore. They're all in a box. But he wants me to put them together. And so he has this one that takes like 7 years to put it together. And it's like this high, and it goes all around, and there's two trains. Well, the first time I put it together, I put it together on his back porch. And we're all back there. It was New Year's Eve. It's like 11 o'clock. I'm trying to put this thing together. I can't see straight because I'm not a late person. We got it all put together, and he stands up. And right about when he's going to do something wrong, he gets this twinkle in his eye. And his eyes twinkle, and I looked at him, and he just goes right on the train, smashed it. There's 3 hours of work. It's just smashed. And he goes, what happened? But you know, right before, though, as Christians, so we're going to do something wrong, though, most of the time we know, and if we was, as James 4:8 says, if we just draw nigh unto God, before we even ask God sometimes what his will is, what he would have us to do, we already know. But yet we get a hold of God's arm and we try to twist it to manipulate our own will. We try to twist it to see, to try to get it. And then we spend a majority of our time trying to convince ourselves what our will is God's will. I've done that I don't know how many times. That I want something, or I want something to happen, I want something true, so I convince myself that it's God's will, and I blatantly know that it's not God's will. I know for a fact that it's not what God wants, but oh, then you try to persuade the people around you that it's God's will. God wants this to happen. God, it has to be God's will, because really the final part of that sentence is it has to be God's will because I want it. It's not because God wants it, it's because I want it to happen. And that verse there, I believe, is trying to say, you know, God hears if it's his will. It's trying to say is he's going to hear you If you know what God's will is, draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh unto you, how many times do we really try to draw nigh unto God? How many times do we really try to seek His face, or do we just do the real quick, Lord, I just want Your will on this, let's go. And I've said this dozens of times. That's the biggest thing that my father ever taught me, is to wait on things. Because I was always hasty, I was always hurriedly, I always wanted it. I always tried to manipulate how to try to figure it out, how to work it out, how to make it work. And you know, sometimes you can. Sometimes you can make it work. But at the end of the day, after you made it work, it's not much fun anymore, because you realize that that's not really what was supposed to happen, because God's will was entirely different. And I bring this message today because, boy, this thing's messed up. Because Christians today, and I guess it probably seems a lot that I'm always just hammering on sin. But where is America at today? Where is the church at today? What's going on? And where are we because Christians are making bad decisions. Somewhere along the line years ago, Christians started making bad decisions because they wanted it their way. And I understand nobody's perfect. I understand that. I understand that from the time that Adam and Eve sinned and ate the fruit, that there's been sin in the world. But we've grown in these last, it seems, 100 and some years since the turn of the 1900. It seems that if you watch history, if you watch things that go on, things have progressively started to slide down because Christians started embracing the world, started making bad decisions and letting things happen in the church houses that shouldn't. I'm going to throw this thing. I'm going to do a preacher here in a minute. And to things to start happening that's wrong. Our bad decisions on what we do in our own lives, but the bad decisions, I'm not the type of a person, because I'm not smart enough to preach something every time that I preach, I try to spend as much time as I can in prayer, because I don't want to preach William Turner's will. But the bad decisions of just what we do in our own walk, the bad decisions on substituting our Bible reading for something else, and we'll come back to that. I just really want to watch this program. And you know, there's Taylor and I don't have cable or anything in the house, but we buy things on DVDs, and you know, it's real easy because they don't have commercials. It's wonderful when you buy a TV series that's on a DVD, because you just sit there and selection over episode push, and then you just sit there, and you sit there for 45 minutes while it goes, oh, that was wonderful, no commercial, we'll do that again. And you push that again, and then all of a sudden 3 hours just went by, and it's like there just went the time that I was supposed to read my Bible. And then you got to stay up, and I know I'm going to use a worldwide preacher analogy. I know that I'm the only one that does that, you know, but and then it's like 10 o'clock, and it's like, oh, man. Still got to read my Bible still, and it's like I'll push it off to the morning. And you know, I read my Bible in the morning too, but then you got to read a double load in the morning. But then you just want a whole day, and you never got in God's word. You just want a whole day, and you never allowed God to speak to you in any type of way. You just want a whole day, and it always seems that happens. Your next day is not quite right, then your next day is not quite right, and something's wrong, and then I'm texting somebody, telling them how horrible everything is, and really when it was my fault. Now, everybody has a bad week, but we allow our bad decisions to get into our lives and not seeking God, as these verses was trying to say. If you need something, if you lack of wisdom, ask Him for it. And a very familiar verse, let's turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And we don't acknowledge Him in all our ways. We don't acknowledge him with our lives. We don't acknowledge him with our finances. We don't acknowledge him with our spirituality. We don't acknowledge him in anything. And then we wonder why our lives are messed up. We wonder why America's going down the tubes. We wonder why the churches are going down the tubes. It's because we decided that we wasn't going to acknowledge him in all our ways. We decided we was going to embrace the world in some ways. And we decided to make those things of the world okay. We decided to, in our own minds, to make sin okay because that's what we like and that's what we're going to do, and we don't care. We're going to acknowledge God on Sundays, and we might acknowledge him Sunday nights, and if we're really spiritual, we might acknowledge him on Wednesday nights, and if we're really with it, we might acknowledge him and go soul winning at some time during the week. But during the rest of the week, in our own time, we might give God 30 minutes for prayer. We might give God 30 minutes for a Bible reading, but the rest of the day, do we really acknowledge him? And the rest of the day, when we sit down on the TV, what we're watching, are we acknowledging him? And the rest of the day when we talk, when we're at work, when we're doing things in front of people, are we really acknowledging him in all our ways? Or are we making bad decisions? Are we making bad choices and not representing the Lord right? I'm tired of hearing of people, and I've used this as an illustration many times, but it burns in my heart because I'm tired of seeing the used-to-be's. I'm tired of seeing Christians, well, I used to do that, but this happened and that happened, and somebody sat in my pew and it made me mad, and somebody did this, and I just walked out. That's going to be a great choice when you stand before God Almighty someday. It's going to be a great choice when you stand before God. It's going to be a great choice that you decided not to witness to people when you're standing on the sidelines and all those that weren't saved is getting cast in a lake of fire. It's going to be a real great decision of how we lived our lives. The older I get, and the longer I guess that God has called me to preach, and the longer that I've been preaching, the more that I realize of how many people truly care about souls. The amount of people that truly care of who's really going to heaven and hell. The amount of people that really just sits in the pew and warms it during some services. The amount of people that only show up for one service throughout the week and expect God to be in all their life throughout the week. What happened if God just started doing that to you? Well, you got arrived at church at 10:20. You walked out of church at 1:10. Oh, that's about 3 hours and 2 hours, 50 minutes. I'll give that to you. What happened if God started doing that? But that's what we give God. And then we wonder why God didn't show up when our life's in a disaster. Then we wonder why, when a crucial moment comes, that God's all of a sudden just not popping that answer. And we start quoting Jeremiah 33:3, calling to me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which knowest not. We're looking around, God, where are you? And I just wonder sometimes if God says, well, where were you? Why didn't you show up and talk to me for a little while this morning? Why didn't you show up and read the Bible this morning? Why should I just all of a sudden, and I know he's God, and I know he's there, and I know he heareth us, but you know, sometimes, one time, we had a weeping willow tree in our front yard when we lived on Peck Road. And that was and we had a pretty long driveway, and that was the stopping point not to ride our bikes past that. And when I was a kid, I loved my bike. And that was the stopping point. And my dad used to stand in the kitchen window and watch every once in a while. Well, I turned around and he wasn't there. And I thought, wonder what's beyond that weeping willow tree that I've never got to explore before. There was a buckeye tree up there. And the buckeyes always fascinated me, and they was all prickly, and you'd break them open. But inside, there was that nice, smooth thing inside, and they always really fascinated me. Well, I wanted one of those. So I rode past the thing. He knew what I was doing. He watched me do it, and he let me ride past that line. When I was done, I put my bike back in the garage, walked in the house, and he was standing there, and he went, Mr. Turner, which when he called me that, I was in trouble. And I said, yes. He said, what did you do? I said, nothing. I was out riding my bike. He said, what do you have in your pocket? So I went like this, and I went, nothing. And he said, I watched you. And I said, but you weren't in the window. know, he was there, and I think sometimes God does that too. God will let you go right past the line. God's always there, but God's not always going to rush to your aid when you're not spending the time that we should be with him. And I do the same thing, and I'm not trying to beat up on you. I do the same thing, and I'll rush past God's checkpoints, and I know what God's decisions really are and what he wants for my life, but yet I twist his arm and try to convince him and convince myself. And, you know, use the illustration of Moses, how Moses went to for the people and God and convinced not to kill the people. And God said, that's a pretty good idea. It's like, God, if Moses can convince you that this is your will, why can't I convince you that this is your will? Because it's not God's will that this happens. And we get mad and we get upset. And then we use the illustration when Jesus went in the temple and threw things over and upside down, how we can lose our temper. Because we try to, everything that we do, we try to make it better, that it's not as bad as it really is. And we continue making bad decision over bad decision over bad decision. Because, you know, any verse in the Bible, if you really want to, you can distort it to make it say anything that you want it to say. That's where people get false religions, and the Jehovah's Witness thought 144,000 people could only go to heaven for a while because they took one verse, and then all of a sudden one day they realized, whoops, we got over 144,000 members. We better change our philosophy. Well, that's a great religion. I want to go someplace where one day I can't go to heaven, and the next day I can because some board member wrote down in a piece of paper that we're going to take that clause out of our Constitution and put another one in. That's wonderful. But decision after bad decisions made. And we wonder why God's not there. We don't heed his word. I really don't understand. And Taylor and I, of course, we don't have kids yet, but I don't understand what parents are doing with their kids anymore. That a bad decision is that they're letting them make. I had somebody tell me a couple months ago, my kid wanted to, and they're supposed to be Christians, and they don't go to the church or anything, but they go, my kid wanted to go to a party, and I knew there was going to be drinking and stuff there, but they needed to learn for themselves what happened. And I said, what happened? He said, the next morning my kid got up to go to school, so that means they were still in high school, got up, and he was trying to eat his cereal, and his hand was going like that, and he was gagging every bit that he took because he had a hangover. I don't understand what, because they needed to learn for themselves. I don't understand the way that what parents are doing and the way they let their kids dress and the things that, of the world that they let them do because it's popular and they have to have this and that and because it's popular, but yet you're making brats out of our kids, and when they turn 18 years old, they don't know anything about authority, they don't know anything about right, because parents are handing them everything left and right when they're 18 years old, out the back door that they go and they never come back. Then we wonder, what happened? And then we spend the next years trying to pray them back in, and they come back in the back door, and we're all excited when they come through the back door again. And I agree with Pastor Dave. We praise those type of kids too much that walk out and walk in. And I'm not saying, and it's not because of me, but let me give you an illustration on this, and then I'll probably be done. I like reading about ships and stuff like that, and the most popular of the ships we all know is probably, that anybody could say, would be the Titanic. And I like reading about the Titanic, and a lot of bad choices were made on that ship. The Titanic was made, and a lot of people don't know this, but the Titanic had two other ships that was made identical to the Titanic. But the Titanic was considered to be the biggest of the two, of the three, even though it was the same length, because it was more fancy, so therefore it weighed a little bit more. So the Titanic was supposed to be the greatest of the ships. Well, everybody wanted to be, all the officers wanted to be on board that Titanic, because it was its maiden voyage of the greatest ship in the world at the time. They forgot the binoculars for the lookout's nest, because the first officer thought the chief officer got it, because they kept fumbling around. Strike number one, they forgot the binoculars. Bad decision. So Frederick Fleet's up in the crow's nest looking at 11 o'clock at night to try to see something that's dark, in the dark water, on a dark sky, trying to see something in the middle of the ocean. Bad thing number two was Titanic. Even though the cabins were supposed to be so luxurious, everything like that, They built the dumb hull with rivets, so when the Titanic hit the iceberg, the rivets all popped out and the ship sank. Strike number two. Strike number three, the Titanic was supposed to have walls that went all the way up to the top to keep the water in as the water, if the Titanic was to sink, but of course we all know that God himself couldn't sink it. Oh-ho. But in case the Titanic was to start to sink, it had these walls like an ice cube tray. If you poked the hole in the ice cube tray, it was supposed to, you know, that little thing was supposed to keep it. Well, when the Titanic hit the iceberg, it ripped open along five of those compartments, so the weight of the water went in, made the ship go like that, and as if you tip an ice cube tray like that, the ship just slid right down in the water. Bad thing number three. Bad decisions caused the Titanic to sink. Bad decisions by somebody saying God himself couldn't sink it. I think God just said, we'll see about that. And it sank. 101 years later, Titanic still rests in 12,500 feet of water at the bottom of the sea. And it still fascinates everybody. They've made countless upon countless movies. Taylor and I just watched one that was made in 1958 the other night, because the night to remember, and because it was clean and it was fun, and I watched it and I still get excited every time it happens. But we get excited about a tragic event. And the tragedy when someone walks out that back door and walks back in is exciting. And I'm not bashing that at all. But they made bad decisions and they're out that back door and they come back in and we embrace them. But Titanic had another ship, sister ship, called the Olympic. Same ship, just a little bit less fancy. Olympic lived its life pretty ordinary. 24 years later in 1935, it was an old ship. They scrapped it. That's the end of that. Nobody knows about the Olympic. Olympic lived a clean life, on and on. But we have a kid that walks out the back door, walks back on, and we embrace it. But we have a kid, and they're not here this morning, but we have kids like a Natalie or an Austin Shell or somebody like that of that sort, or a John Black or somebody like that that's never gone out into sin, that's never experienced sin to a certain degree, and we just let them slide through the ranks. We just let them go through, and we don't applaud them at all, and we don't congratulate them, but somebody walks out into sin and walks back in, and it's great. Titanic sunk. We all know about that because it was a tragedy. We all know about that because 1,500 people lost their life because they decided they wasn't going to put enough lifeboats. Titanic was made with enough lifeboats on board, but the White Star Line thought it looked too junky, so they took them off so they could walk down the sides, and they left enough room for only 1,000 people, and only 710 got in lifeboats because people wouldn't get on the lifeboats because they thought the ship wasn't going to sink. Because the bow of the ship sliding underneath the water is when the part that the people started wanting to get in the lifeboats, people started jumping in the water that was 24 degrees. Taylor and I was on our honeymoon. We're driving down. Somebody paid for us to go to a cabin in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. We're driving down Pigeon Forge, and we're driving along, and all of a sudden, there's this big museum, and it looked just like the Titanic. They built the whole thing like the Titanic. Well, of course, I wanted to go there. So we get in, and we go in, and I'm in seventh heaven walking through. There's artifacts of the Titanic and chairs and stuff like that that they pulled out. We're going through, and there's this bucket of water, and it said, stick your hand in there, and there was a timer. Decide how long you stick your hand in there. I kept my hand in it for 6 seconds, and I had it out. Now, she wanted to be the rivalry person, because we're just married, sticks it in there, and her eyes are watering, and the thing's going, and 16 seconds later, she pulls her hand out, and it was blue. And so we're walking through there, and then she goes under my armpit to get it warm. That was a bad decision. But bad decisions were made with that ship. It didn't turn out. They opposed God on who God really was when they made that ship. An Olympic sailed just fine. No one knew about it. Titanic didn't. Everybody knows. It's about time as Christians that we start getting our acts right. It's about time that we start making good decisions and consult God when we're going to make a decision. Just a little lesson this morning. It's something we all know, but for some reason we all blow it out of proportion sometimes. We need to start making good decisions. How can we complain about where America's going if we're not making good decisions? How can we complain about where our churches are going if we're not making good decisions? How can we complain if there's not a fire in our hearts to do something more for God? How can we complain if we're not doing everything we can for God? How can we complain if we're not reading our Bible and praying? How can we complain if we're not in all the services throughout the week? That really irritates me when somebody starts complaining about the shape of the world, the shape of things in, and they're totally able to be in God's house. They're totally able to do things for God, and yet they sit in a stupid pew and they get out and leave not doing anything for God, but they want to complain of how America is. They want to complain about how the church is. Well, start doing something. You might be the person that can be able to do it. You might be the person that could change America. Just start doing it. Stop making bad decisions and start making good decisions. You say, why do you always scream and hoop and holler about this? Because I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. If I'm 23 years old and I'm sick of it, you people that's been around a lot longer than me should be a lot more sick of it than I should be. Start going forward for God, making good decisions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for the Sunday school hour we had. Lord, just I pray it would, Lord, just speak to someone's heart, Lord, to start making good decisions for you. And Lord, if I said something that was not right, Lord, I used enough scripture, Lord, to prove what is right. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just be with us, be with the church hour to follow, be with our preacher as he preaches. In thy heavenly name we pray. Amen.